This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You are listening to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs and printed copies of the sermon will be given at the end of the program. Thank you for joining us today, and please join us every Sunday at this time for worship with us.
Can a Christian ever retire from being God's servant? We're going to talk about that in the service today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we know that in your eyes all people are precious, for you have created us in your image, and you love us. So we pray that we may understand that there is no particular time in a person's life where he is more important than others, but that you are anxious to reach out and speak to this world through your children, wherever they are. Bless us as we worship together here this morning, and grant us, O God, a rich measure of your grace as we begin another week. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Friends in Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ has always been segregated. It's segregated today, but it has been in the years gone by, too. We talk about the Church being segregated by race, by nationalities, by wealth. That is very common to hear people expound on that to no end. And yet we realize that there's not much that we do about it. I was talking one day with a black pastor, and he said to me, you know, I think we have to realize that we have our own particular cultures, and we feel best worshiping with one another. And when I go into one of your white churches, I think you're so drab. It's so quiet. And I'm sure that when you come to ours, you think that we are so noisy. Now we are one in Christ, he said to me. That's the oneness. But he said, let us have our respective places, and if our different ways of doing things divide us, then so be it. Well, maybe it isn't so bad, although I'm awfully glad that the racial segregation is getting broken down more and more. We have nationalities that break us down too, divide us. I was raised in a community where the majority of people who went to our church were Danes. Now, they were very happy to let the Scotchmen and the Irishmen come in. But if the name had a Scandinavian ending of S-E-N or S-O-N, then it was perhaps one of ours. That is exactly the way I found it. As a little boy, they said you go to the Danish church. We know also wealth can divide us. One summer, I spent about a month in New York City. Attending a prominent theological seminary there, I went to a church nearby the seminary on a Sunday morning. It had a gorgeous organ, a beautiful choir, and a great orator. It was a thrill just to go there and sit. But it was also interesting to watch the people as they assembled for worship. You can easily see that this was a church of the wealthy. Many of them came with their chauffeurs, and as the chauffeurs let them out of the car, they were there with all of their finery. I could certainly go into that church. I did. Every Sunday morning that I was there, they were very kind to me, cordial, never invited me to come home with them for lunch or dinner, but they were a nice group of people. But this was a church of the wealthy, and without a doubt, those who lived in that area had understood this from the very beginning. And they had, in most cases, probably found one where they were a little bit more in common as far as wealth was concerned. There is another divider that works right within the congregation. And that divider that I referred to this morning is referred to in our text. It is age. Age is a real divider in the church. How badly the church needs to be reminded that in the kingdom of God, age doesn't matter. God has a place for all of us to serve, from the cradle to the grave. And now let's turn in our Bibles, if you have them, or listen to me very, very carefully, and see what Jesus says about this. If you turn, for example, to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 18, the first six verses, you read this. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of God. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." What is Jesus trying to point out to the people? He says, look at this little toddler. He is completely dependent upon his father. His father will take care of him. I want to see that characteristic in you. That as an older person, You are completely dependent upon your Heavenly Father. He alone is the one who can care for you. So you see how important that child is? An example. Turn to the next chapter in the Gospel of St. Matthew. Then little children were brought to him that he could put his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Now notice Jesus. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Very interesting. Here were these mothers who loved the Lord Jesus and loved their children. And then they would bring them over and Jesus would put them up in his lap. And these apostles and others who were round about said, Jesus cannot stand to be busy with people like small children. He needs to talk with those who are very prominent and who have some clout in what they have to say. And when Jesus sees this, he becomes very, very disturbed. And he takes them from the mother's arms again and he says, "Permit these little children to come to me and forbid them not, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." And then he gave them back to the mothers, and the mothers beamed. For they saw that even their little girls were very, very important to Jesus and in the kingdom of God. Now today we have a passage of scripture from 1 Timothy 4 where Paul is talking to Timothy about his youth. And he says to him very clearly, "Paul, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young." Evidently, someone had said something to Timothy about his age. And he had come to Paul and said, "You better back off in the assignments that you give me. There are those here who feel without a doubt that I should not be preaching in the same category as you are." And it is that reason that Paul says to Timothy, "Don't you let anyone look down on you because you are young." Now, I'm not a Timothy. Don't let me give you that impression. But I will never forget a Bible camp that I attended where I was teaching. I had lectured all morning. And that afternoon, I had gone down to the lake for a swim. And there I saw a man who had been in my class all morning. I walked over and greeted him. And I learned that he was a pastor. And it wasn't very long before he says, "You know, I think you better quiet down just a little bit. Because after listening to your lecture this morning, I've learned that you still have a ways to go." Nothing could have crushed me more. And I realized that I had a long ways to go. But that this man was really making a reference to my youth. How long was it before I could really come forth with some strong convictions? And it took me a little while, too. I had to find a Paul to get me straightened out. It is absolutely necessary that we realize that age does not count in the kingdom of God. But Paul goes on to say to Timothy, while I don't want your age to cause you any difficulty, please remember this, that your words will have to be backed up in behavior. People will watch you, perhaps, and see if he really practices what he preaches. So he said, be careful of your speech. No profanity. No things that would cause it to detract from what you had said when you told them about Jesus. Let them know from the very, very innermost part of your being that you are a child of God. It reminds me of one Christmas Eve in our home. Christmas Eve was rather traditional there. We had a lovely meal. Then we had a devotion. And then we opened up our gifts. And when it came to the devotion part, that was usually the part I had, I found my Bible somewhere and began to read the Christmas gospel. But on that particular night, one of our grandsons, who now was a graduate of college and had moved to another part of the country, came to me and said, Gramp, is it possible that I might conduct the devotion tonight? And I looked at him, possible, it is highly probable. You do it. I'll be thrilled to hear what you have to say. So when it got to be that time, he opened up the Bible and he read, I imagine, the Christmas gospel. And then he said words to this effect, I thank God that he has come to this world in the person of Jesus Christ. But even more than that, I thank God tonight that he has come into my heart and he is mine forever. Your speech, people understand what you say. And then let your life back it up. We also realize that we live in a day where there is a great deal of vulgarity, where there is a great deal of sin as far as sex is concerned. You notice that when Paul talks to Timothy about people realizing who he is, that his life should be pure. Time magazine, in its February 28th edition, has a statement that really, really is disturbing. They're talking about how sex has become so common in our day that it is really an addiction. Here it is. Because the desire for sex is so powerfully encoded in our DNA, the abstinence model for treating sex addiction is usually unrealistic. Because it is so common that people are just having sex outside of marriage, whether they're married or not, that you can't even consider abstinence a solution. That's pretty bad. For God's word clearly states that all sexual activity outside of marriage is lust, and it is not love. So, watch your speech. Watch your purity. And one more, watch your attitude. Have the attitude of St. Paul. When Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Be willing to say that I'm not very strong and there are perhaps not many things that I can do by myself. But this I can do. That with Jesus Christ by my side, I can do all things. I can take a world that looks like it's falling apart and still find some hope. I can look to people whose lives are completely a mess and see how they can become new people in Jesus Christ. So you put your words together, whether you're young or old, and let them be backed up by a life that is positive in attitude with Jesus Christ by your side. that is pure and that can speak and point people right to Jesus Christ whenever there's an opportunity. You're going to be a true dynamic witness for Jesus Christ, whether you're 18 or 88 and anywhere in between. I tell you, my friend, our Father needs us all. There is no question about that. He needs you and He needs me. Let's give Him our all, no matter who we are. Yes, it means that I will be willing to take the responsibility in a little special way when I am in my mid-40s, 50s, 60s, even my 30s, where I've got maturity coming at least, and I have the strength to go out and do things for the Lord. But let us never think that we are obsolete. Obsolete, friend, when we have grown a little older. Because God has a place for you right where you are. Paul could not move out to start another congregation. He was old. He was in prison. He was going to be killed. His day was just about over. But what could he do? He could write up a book which became 2 Timothy, coming from the dungeon to point us to Jesus Christ and to tell us that in Christ we are God's forever. God spare us if we come to that day when we feel no need for any particular one in the priesthood of all believers. He needs you. He needs me. For together our voices sing out that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that a wonderful message? I'm sure that Timothy could have gone on from that day on and just said, I marvel that God can take that little child, that God can take an older man, an older woman, and come close to a person and share with him or her the gospel of Jesus Christ. For in Christ, age doesn't count. Amen.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Lord Jesus, we pray that as we begin a new week, no matter what our age level may be, we may realize that you need us where we are as your servants, and that in the kingdom of God, age does not count. We ask it in your name. Amen.
You have been worshiping today with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray today's sermon will be a source of inspiration in the coming week. We would like to invite you to become a partner in our ministry by joining our Gift Every Month Club, our GEM Club. GEM Club donors give a regular gift each month to help us spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to listeners who are sick or homebound. For your convenience, you can have your contribution taken directly from your Visa or MasterCard each month. To join the GEM Club or to receive more information, please call us toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. The most recent issue of our quarterly newsletter is now available, and the theme for this time is assurance. To receive a copy of this special publication, which includes a feature article by Reverend Larson and our associate speaker, Reverend Steve Kramer, please call our toll-free number or email us at cc@naz.org. To request a CD or a printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 75th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.